Wildcat men's basketball coach Bruce Weber, kind enough to join us here on the game this afternoon. Coach, I hope we didn't chase you out of that meeting. We appreciate you joining us.
No, we had started summer school. Guys are back. We had father-son camp this weekend. They worked that camp, did a great job. And had younger kids day camp today, and then we wanted to have our first organizational team meeting. And coaches always get a little windy, you know all that. And I never say anything emotionally after a bad game or anything. I don't know why that guy would ever do that. That doesn't make any sense.
Your non-conference schedule released today, Coach, and we've spent a portion of the show today talking about it. Personally, while you have a number of guys returning, to me there's enough of a group of newcomers that enter the program that to me your schedule seems to be right on target. There's the Maui trip right in front of that, the trip to Long Beach. You know, Georgia comes here. You've got the road trip to Knoxville. And then you have, you know, some of those, the winnable games at home with the Texas Southerns, what have you. But to me, it seems like this is the right and manageable kind of schedule before Big 12 play. Do you have what you want in a non-conference schedule?
Well, the science of scheduling is very, very important, and also scheduling itself is very difficult. And people, the average person doesn't understand that. One, every coach wants the perfect schedule. And you know, Drew Spiro this year, Brad Korn last year, spends a lot of hours on the phone. And then coaches, you know, it's crazy. Coaches lie to coaches and, yeah, we'll play. And then all of a sudden we find out, they're not going to play. And then, oh, we can't play a game on that date. And then we find out they played somebody else on that date. It's amazing. And Coach Katie, many years ago when I was a young coach, said, you know, scheduling may be more important than recruiting. And I looked at him like, you know, that's crazy. But you know, last year we're a really new team. We didn't really play a road game, you know, in that non-conference schedule. We needed to build confidence in that December got us over the hump and got us into where we felt good about ourselves as a team and move forward. But you can, if you overschedule with a team, and there's still, I'm very optimistic about our group. I just told them, but I'm also cautious. And, you know, we got to have, maturity. Everyone's got to get better. Our point guard play, we got to have maturity out of those guys. And then, you know, that's the kind of schedule. We got a very, it's a challenging schedule. Right away, you got a road game at Long Beach. And people say, oh, but, you know, I already, you know, that's going to be a tough game. And then, obviously, Maui is just loaded. Arizona was number one last year. San Diego State beat Kansas. And, you know, it's been a Sweet 16. Pittsburgh, obviously, Jamie Dixon. BYU was NCAA team. Missouri was NIT. And, obviously, a rival. And Purdue wasn't even in anything. But, Matt does a great job there. And even Chaminade won't be easy. Then you got another road game at Tennessee. Texas A&M in Kansas City, former Big 12 team, now in the SEC. And then when you get another SEC team, Georgia, Mark Fox, of course, a former Kansas State assistant coach, is the head coach there, and Garden City native. And, you know, and he's got a team that finished in the top four in the SEC last year, and they expect to be very good. So it's a good, challenging schedule. I thought we needed to pick it up a little bit from last year, and I think it does that.
Do you remember a time at Illinois, Bruce, where maybe you were overscheduled in the non-conference and you were kicking yourself?
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt. All through the years. We had a year at Purdue where we didn't get in the NCAA, one of our only times in my 18 years, and we played, Olajuwon, Houston, and ooh, Wake Forest, and DePaul with it was after Mark McGuire, but Terry Cummings in that group. And then we played Oklahoma at Oklahoma. And I was like, that's when I learned a lot, you know, from Coach Katie. He was kicking himself at that time. So we end up, I think, 3-6 in non-conference, then end up in the top five in the Big Ten, and we can't get in the NCAA tournament because our non-conference record was so poor. I think we were like 18th RPI, but we didn't get in the tournament. So you can overdo it. I think the other part too is when you have a really good team, you got to challenge them. You know, one of our goals is to, you know, hopefully go deep in the tournament. So you want to have experience against a lot of teams from different parts of the country, so that when you get to the NCAA tournament, there are no surprises.
We had a caller earlier, Bruce, and we're talking with Bruce Weber here on the game on News Radio 1350 KMAN that brought up the fact that last year you had the George Washington game on New Year's Eve, and then this year you're going to have the Georgia game there. Is that a point to try and make it a pretty good opponent that comes in right before conference play starts, or is that just where those happen to fall the last 2 years?
Well, last year we were fortunate. George Washington fell there, but it was a big game for us. You know, they were top 25 RPI at the end of the year. And you know, that was a huge win, a great confidence builder, helped us with, you know, Oklahoma State. Georgia, you know, we felt we needed another, you know, good quality game before you go in the conference. And of course, you know, Mr. Curry likes, you know, us to have good home games to sell that, you know, when they're selling season tickets and stuff. And, you know, last year was great. You know, it's such a fine line for the football. 2 years ago, I had heard we always had really good crowds for New Year's Eve. And then 2 years ago, you know, we're in the bowl game, the BCS game, and 30,000 K-State fans or more are in Phoenix, so we don't get a very good crowd here. But last year, the bowl game ended up ahead of the game, and then we had a great crowd for that George Washington game. And I think, you know, if we can work that out, it's a positive thing, and hopefully even get some national exposure with some ESPN coverage. One of the channels I think the game will be on.
Bruce Weber, again, our guest here on the game, having Bradley on the docket and coming to Manhattan, Coach, is that set up just from the ties with you and Coach Lowry, or is a Missouri Valley team, and I know people are going to bring up Wichita State, I get that, but well, is having a Missouri Valley team on the docket beneficial?
It's a good game, and, you know, we were looking, you know, the other games, you know, we need so many home games for our schedule and all that stuff, and, you know, we call them guaranteed games, bye games, and you know, it just happened. Bradley wanted, you know, it's a one-time game. They're coming to our place, and they needed a game, and, you know, so it's a good, you know, Valley teams are tough. That'll be a good test for us, and, you know, we actually had looked at, we had a couple games that we were trying to look at, Fresno State, Boise, and then Bradley, and then this one just worked out date-wise. Some of it, you know, that's the other part, people. You know, the date has to work. You got exams. You know, we have exams 1 week. Other schools have another. You can't play during exams, things like that. So there's a lot of, you know, like I said before, earlier, that scheduling is really tough. It's not easy. Even officials, everyone, coaches argue about the officials, too. You know, go round and round, which ones, you know, do you want yours at home, away? Can you get crews that work in both conferences? That's all, to me, that's always the best, because then you feel comfortable with it at both places. So, but that's, you know, Bradley's obviously a great name and had great success, and so we're, you know, another good game here for us early in the season.
Coach, you've gotten Malik Harris, Trey Harris, Stephen Hurt all here in Manhattan now. How have they been doing since arriving?
Well, they just obviously just got here on Friday, and but Stephen Hurt got here a little earlier and then went out at the Western Kansas swing, worked some camps out there. And but, you know, we'll do weights today, workouts tomorrow. I'll know a little more next couple weeks how they're doing. But they're very, very talented. Malik is, you know, he's got, you know, him and Stephen Hurt probably the highest accolade. Stephen, of course, is a junior coming in and got great size. He's got his weight pretty. He's about 216, 262. Which is good, and now we just got to tone him up, get him a little more explosive. Malik's probably got to put on weight and get that body a little bigger. And then Trey Harris, I think he'll surprise some people. He got done with prep school in March, and he went home, and I mean, he kept telling me he's working out, but he came here. He's impressive. He's really thinned out. He's long, maybe grew an inch or so long. And the one thing he can do is really shoot the basketball from long range, which he can always use. So we feel really good about all three of those guys.
How are the old guys like Gip, DJ, and Nino healing up?
Our IR squad,
yeah,
reserve squad. You know, Thomas had two surgeries after the season, the shoulder, which was a miracle, really. It popped out in that Iowa State game in the Big 12, but he made it through the Kentucky game. And then he also had wrist surgery. You know, he has got he's out of the sling now, and he's shooting the ball. We're probably going to have to go no contact most of the summer with him. DJ gets another MRI. He's off the crutches. He's got the boot on. we're hoping the next couple of weeks he can, you know, start putting some weight on that, get running again. You know, Jack is the same thing. You know, he's had 2 foot surgeries, and so he's got that boot, and he's, you know, his might be a little slower because they had to, you know, go in and try to continue to make that that fracture heal a little better. So, and then Nino had to had a procedure done at the end of the year, and he's just kind of starting to come back. So it's, you know, we got more big guys, but right now they're not very healthy.
What do you, before I let you go, how many more Catbacker events do you have, and what are you hearing out on the trail?
Well, it's been very positive. Once I was part of the Western Swing, and I have 3 this week. I'm going to Salina tomorrow, Atchison on Wednesday, and then Marysville on Friday, and then a couple next week, Wichita, and Manhattan's coming up a week from Friday, and then I got the Southeastern one, I think, the week after. So it's been really, you know, it's very positive. We've got great fans. People are excited. I think they're, you know, they come up to me, "You're going to be really good, huh, Coach?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think we can." But, you know, you just don't, you know, it's still, we got a lot of, you know, we're going to miss Will. We're going to miss Shane. We got to have some guys have good summers. We've got to get healthy. And, but, you know, at the same time, you feel pretty good about us, our group as a whole.
Coach, appreciate the time. We'll let you go. Safe travels out there on the Catbacker Tour. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Good talking to you. Have a great summer. All right.